You are listening to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry podcast. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible to be able to know what you believe and why you believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. Ephesians 4:11 and 12. And now we have Dr. Ben Pennington, founder and president of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry.
As we close out Genesis 27 in our last lesson, Isaac was old and nearing death. His eyes were dim in that he could not see. And with the help of his mother, Rebekah, Jacob was able to deceive his father into believing that he was actually Esau, his firstborn brother. Jacob received the firstborn blessing that Isaac had intended to give to Esau. Esau was very angry and threatened to kill Jacob. Jacob escaped by going to the home of his mother's brother, Laban. In today's lesson, Jacob is poised to start a new chapter in his life, and he's looking forward to a new beginning and a fresh start with Laban. The year 2020 was a very difficult year for many of us. Many of us are looking forward to a new beginning and a fresh start. There are lessons that we can learn from the life of Jacob and apply them to our lives today as we start our new year and our new beginning in the year 2021. Welcome, everyone, to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry, Jesus in Genesis podcast. My name is Dr. Ben Pennington, and I am so glad that you're with us today. Please tell a friend and please share this podcast. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. We want you to study, to show yourself approved by God. We want you to always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks about the hope that is within you. We want you to know what you believe, and we want you to know why you believe it. Our ministry podcasts are covering lessons on foundational biblical doctrines and principles in the Bible, from the doctrine of creation in Genesis to the return of Christ in the book of Revelation. And you can subscribe and access all of our previous podcasts, broadcasts, and Bible lessons on our Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry website at www.foundationalbtm.org. Our Bible lesson podcasts are also available on your favorite podcast stations. So let's get started. John 5, verses 46 and 47, Jesus Christ is talking, and he said, "If you believe Moses, you would believe me, because Moses wrote about me. If you don't believe the writings of Moses, how will you believe my words?" Luke 24, verses 27, and then verses 44 and 45, we have the resurrected Jesus Christ on the road to Emmaus, walking and talking along with several of his disciples. Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. And he said to them, "These are my words, which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything that was written about me, that was written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms," by the way, that's the entire Old Testament, "everything that was written about me must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds that they might understand the scriptures. So what am I saying? I'm saying that Jesus Christ stated that the entire Old Testament are his words and that the Old Testament was written about him. In our Jesus in Genesis series, we're studying the entire book of Genesis chapter by chapter and pointing out the work of Jesus Christ and the implications of the work of Jesus Christ in our COVID-19 pandemic world that we live in today. God's word is just as relevant. God's word is just as needed today as it has ever been. And God's word will not come back void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will open our minds so that we too might understand the scriptures. So let's get started. And we've titled today's lesson, Genesis 28 and 29, Jacob, a new beginning with Laban. And we start in Genesis 28. Let's go to the first four verses. And there's several themes that we see as we read the first four verses of Genesis 28. There's an escape, there's a plan for marriage, and there's a discussion about the blessings of Abraham. So Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said, "You shall not marry one of the Canaanite women. Go at once to the home of Padan Aram, the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take a wife from there, one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and numerous, that you may become a company of people. And may he give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your offspring with you, so that you may take possession of the land where you now live as an alien, the land that God gave Abraham." An obvious question from that scripture would be, what is the blessing of Abraham? And to get that answer, we need to go back to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, 1 through 3, this is where God is giving Abraham his call and his marching orders. And it says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, go out of your country and away from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Paul says it this way in the New Testament regarding the blessing of Abraham, Galatians 3:16. Galatians 3:16 says, "Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say to offsprings as of many, but it says unto your offspring, that is to one person who is Christ." So what am I saying? The blessing of Abraham is not prosperity. The blessing of Abraham is not having material possessions. The blessing of Abraham is not about acquiring financial wealth. As stated in Galatians 3:16, the blessing of Abraham was Jesus Christ. It is through Abraham's seed, which is Jesus Christ, that all the families and all the nations of the world will be blessed. Jesus Christ is the blessing of Abraham. Isaac knew that God had promised that the Messiah would come from his bloodline, and Isaac wanted to make sure that Jacob would marry a godly woman and become equally yoked. Genesis 28, verses 6 through 9, the discussion here is about the relationship that Esau had and the response that he had to the fact that his father had given his birthright to Jacob. So Genesis 28, 6 through 9, in spite and in an attempt to get back at his father, Isaac, Esau marries a Canaanite woman from the house of Ishmael. Hebrews 12, 16 says, "Make sure that no one becomes sexually immoral or ungodly like Esau." Let me say that one more time. Hebrews 12, 16 says, "Make sure that no one becomes sexually immoral or ungodly like Esau. He sold his inheritance as the oldest son for one meal." The scripture states that Esau was sexually immoral and ungodly. So let's move on to Genesis 28. Verses 10 through 13, now you got Jacob going to the home of his mother's brother, and on the way he has this encounter. So let's talk about that. Genesis 28, 10 through 13. "Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun was going down. And he took one of the stones from the place, and he put it under his head, and he lay it down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder that set up on the earth, and the top of it reached all the way to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, 'I am the Lord, the God of Abraham of your father, the God of Isaac, and the land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you.' Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.' And he was afraid, and he said, 'How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven.'" So I have a couple questions for you. Why does God call himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? In about a dozen places in the Bible, the Lord God is referred to as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. This is the name of God that emphasizes the covenant relationship that God had made with Israel and the Israelites in this special place they had as God's chosen people. God repeated this covenant with Abraham to three different generations. He repeated the covenant of Abraham to Abraham, of course, first, and then to Isaac, and then to Jacob, and we're all given the promise of the land, many descendants, and the blessing. When Jacob heard from God, he believed God's word and acted on God's word. I'm going to warn everybody one more time. When Jacob heard the word of God, just like when we hear the word of God, we should believe God's word and we should act on God's word. We should do the same today that Jacob did back then. We must stand on the promises of God regardless to our situation, regardless to the challenges we are facing. So let's continue in Genesis 28. Now we're in verses 18 and 19. So Jacob arose early in the morning. He took the stone that he had put under his head and he set it up for a pillar and he poured oil on top of it and he called that place Bethel. But the name of the city was Luz at first. And Jacob made a vow saying, if God be with me and if God will keep me in this way that I go over to my mother's brother's house and if God will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I come back again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that you give me, I will surely give one-tenth to you. Jacob made a vow to obey God and to tithe a tenth of his possessions to God. Giving to God is an act of worship. Giving to God is an act of obedience. It is a way to show your trust and faith in God and in his holy word. So let's continue now to Genesis 29. This is where Jacob is eventually going to meet his wife, Rachel. Then Jacob went on his journey, and he saw a well in the field, and three flocks of sheep lying there beside it. And Jacob said to the shepherds, my brothers, where do you come from? And they said, we are from Haran. And he said to them, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we do. And he said to them, is it well with them? Yes, they replied. And here is his daughter, Rachel, coming with the sheep. So I hope you hear me. Here is his daughter, Rachel, coming with the sheep. Rachel was the first female shepherd or shepherdess mentioned in the Bible. And while Jacob was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. Now when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of his mother's brother Laban, and the sheep of his mother's brother Laban, Jacob went up and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of his mother's brother. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's kinsman, and that he was Rebekah's son, and that she ran and she told her father. And Laban brought Jacob into his house, and Laban made Jacob feel welcome in his home. And he said to Jacob, surely you are bone of my bone and my flesh. And he stayed with him for a month. So now as we continue in Genesis 29, verses 13 to 16, what you're seeing now is the contractual relationship, the employer-employee relationship that Laban is coming into an agreement with Jacob. And he says, because you are my kinsman, sure, you therefore serve me for nothing. Tell me, what should your wages be? Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. So Jacob had fallen in love with Rachel and the younger daughter, and he agreed to work for Laban for 7 years as payment so he could marry Rachel. Jacob had been known as a trickster, so now he's getting ready to be tricked. He was known as the player, and now he's getting ready to get played. As you look at Genesis 29, verses 21 through 24. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife that I may sleep with her, for my time is completed, because he had already worked his 7 years as the agreement was. So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and Jacob slept with her. And when the morning came, Jacob looked around and saw it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, what is this that you've done to me? Did I not serve you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me? And Laban said, this is not done in our country, giving the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week with Leah, and I will give you Rachel in return for serving me another 7 years. So Jacob did so, and he completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife. So now you're starting to see the children of Jacob being born as we continue in Genesis 29, verses 29 through 32. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel to be her maid. So Jacob went into Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. He served Laban for another 7 years. And when the Lord had saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. Leah conceived and bore a son, and she named him Reuben. So the firstborn son of Jacob was Reuben. And I'm pretty sure you know, following the pattern here, the firstborn is not going to get the blessing that Jacob is going to give eventually. So let's continue. Genesis 29, as we see more sons being born to Jacob from his wife Leah. So Leah conceived again and bore a son, and she named him Simeon. Again she conceived and bore a son, and he was named Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son, and said, "This time I will praise the Lord." Therefore she named him Judah. Then she stopped bearing. Judah means praise, and in case you're not familiar with this, Jesus Christ was from the Israelite tribe of Judah. So what are the lessons learned here from Genesis 28 and 29? When we hear God's word, we need to trust God, and we need to act on his word. I'll repeat that again. When God speaks to you, when you hear God's word, you need to trust the word of God, and you need to do whatever his word is telling you to do. Faith without works is dead. We should reaffirm our vow or promise to obey God as we look at this being the new year of 2021. We should reaffirm our vows and our commitment to be obedient to God and to his word. Another lesson learned, giving to God is an act of worship and an act of obedience. And giving to God is a way to show our trust and faith in him and in his holy word. Jacob had a new beginning, and Jacob had a fresh start in today's lesson. So what does our Bible say about new beginnings? Let me share a few scriptures with you. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 says that God would do a new thing in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I need a new thing done in my life this year in 2021. So God would do a new thing in our lives. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23 says, God's love never ceases, and his mercies are new each morning. Every morning, we have a new mercy from God, and God's love never ceases. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says that if we wait on the Lord, he will renew our strength, and we will mount up with wings like eagles, and we will run and not be weary, and we will walk and will not faint. And Philippians 3:14 says that we should forget those things which are behind. Forget those things in 2020. Forget those things which are behind me, and I reach forward to the things that are ahead of me. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I love that scripture. I forget those things which are behind, and I press forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And the last scripture I'm going to share with you about new beginnings is 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away, and all things become new. So where is Jesus in Genesis 28 and 29? Jacob is the son of Isaac. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. When we study Jacob, we are studying the ancestral family of Jesus Christ. Jacob eventually became the nation of Israel. Jesus Christ came from the nation of Israel. As we study Jacob, we are seeing types and shadows and signs that point to the eventual incarnation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is in Genesis. The same God that spoke to Jacob back then is speaking to us now in the year 2021. God will never leave us or forsake us. He is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. And that's our lesson for today. Genesis 28, 29, Jacob, a new beginning with Laban. And as we face the global pandemic of COVID-19 at the start of this new year, we need to remember that God is still in control. He is still on the throne. Romans 8:28 says that all things, not some things, not most things, Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for the good of them that love God, for them who are called according to his purpose. All Christians have a spiritual backup. However, if you're not saved, I'm offering you the spiritual covering of salvation through Jesus Christ. Accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior will give you the spiritual support, the spiritual backup, and the spiritual strength you will need as we face the uncertain days lying ahead of us in 2021. Romans 10:9 and 11 says that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you decided to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, please repeat this prayer of salvation. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the grave. I'm asking for salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. I pray that you create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. I pray that I will lead a new life and that I will glorify and honor you daily. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you. Amen. If you just repeated that salvation prayer, welcome to the body of Christ. There are several things that you need to do in terms of the next steps after salvation. First, I would advise you to visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and click on the Salvation tab and read the information about salvation and the next steps that you need to take now that you're safe, and several things you need to do. Number one, you need to read your Bible. You need to read your Bible daily. You need to pray daily. You need to join a church where Jesus Christ is being preached. You need to regularly attend worship services and Bible study. You should ask your church to assign an experienced member to mentor and disciple you. And you should be baptized to publicly confess the spiritual change that has taken place in your life. And if you have any questions, please send me an email at drben@foundationalbtm.org. That's DRBEN at foundationalbtm.org. Why? Because I want you to know what you believe, and I want you to know why you believe it.
If you want additional information on today's podcast topic, feel free to visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and download our study guide and answer sheet that accompanies today's podcast topic. We upload new blogs, podcast study guides, and answer sheets weekly. If you would like to be notified when new materials have been uploaded, just click on the subscribe tab on our website. We are a listener-supported ministry. Please help the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry continue the work of teaching Bible lessons that equip us with information to help us know what we believe and why we believe it. You can make a donation to help the ongoing work of our ministry by visiting our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. That's FoundationalBTM.org. And click on the donation tab. Your generous contribution will be greatly appreciated and will help us continue the work of this ministry. And now, back to Dr. Ben.
If you feel that there's a need to continue the ongoing work of this ministry, if you feel that the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry Bible lessons are needed and necessary in this world that we live in today, we're asking you to make a tax-free donation of any amount to support the ongoing work of this ministry. There are three ways, not two ways. There are three ways you can give to this ministry. First of all, you can go to our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and click on the donation tab and make a tax-free donation of any amount. You can also make a Cash App donation to our ministry at Dr. Ben Pennington. And you can also mail a check made payable to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry, Post Office Box 1712. That's P.O. Box 1712, Austell, Georgia 30168. Either way, you will be a blessing to us so we can continue to be a blessing to others. But before you go, let's give you a preview of our next podcast, which is covering Genesis 30 and 31. Jacob has fathered more children, and God continues to follow through on his promise to make the children of Abraham into a nation. Jacob was known as a trickster, and now he is working for Laban, his mother's brother. Laban has tricked Jacob into working for him for 20 years, 7 years for Rachel, 7 years for Leah, and 6 years for the flock of sheep. Laban has changed Jacob's wages 10 times and did everything he could do to cheat Jacob. But if God be for you, who could be against you? And whatever man means for evil or have intended to harm you, God can turn that around for your good. So as we look at our next upcoming podcast, I have a few questions. Will Jacob be able to leave the house of Laban? Will Jacob flee with his family and with his flock of sheep? Will Laban catch Jacob and force him to return? Will God make good on his promise to turn the children of Abraham into a nation? Will God make good on his promise to protect Jacob wherever he goes? Will Jacob and Laban make a treaty? I'm glad you asked. We will answer these questions with Bible-based scripture references in our next upcoming Bible study podcast, which we've titled Genesis 30 and 31, Jacob, Deliverance from the House of Laban. This is Dr. Ben, signing off for now. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow.